You're welcome back. And as we've been hearing, the new Pope has been saying his first Mass as Pontiff. Pope Leo said he hoped his election could bring light to the dark nights of this world. Let's take a listen.
I begin with a word in English, and the rest is in Italian. But I want to repeat the words from the responsorial psalm. I will sing a new song to the Lord because he has done marvels. And indeed, not just with me, but with all of us, my brother cardinals, as we celebrate this morning, I invite you to recognize the marvels that the Lord has done, the blessings that the Lord continues to pour out upon all of us. Through the ministry of Peter, you have called me to carry that cross and to be blessed with that mission. And I know I can rely on each and every one of you to walk with me as we continue as a church, as a community of friends of Jesus, as believers, to announce the good news, to announce the gospel.
Well, we can cross now to Rome and our religion correspondent, Alva Keneally. Alva, will you talk to us about what's been happening over the past few hours as the new Pope starts his first full day in the job?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, firstly, I expected Rome to be a bit quieter this morning, but large crowds remain here and around St. Peter's Square following yesterday's announcement of Pope Leo XIV. For many people watching from the outside, there's probably a view that the conclave ends when the white smoke emerges from the Sistine Chapel and the new Pope is presented. But for cardinals, the conclave officially ends with a private Mass the following morning, and that took place this morning in the Sistine Chapel. So Pope Leo returned to the chapel where he was a cardinal yesterday before he was elected as the 267th Pope. So that Mass is the main feature of the day for the new Pope, during which he gave his first homily as the new spiritual leader of the Catholic Church.
And did that homily, Alva, did it reveal very much about the likely focus of his papacy?
I think it's fair to say that it followed probably a style that we've heard previously from the likes of Pope Francis. He began by noting that the cardinals had called him to be blessed with the mission of leading the church. So a nod to them and the trust they have in them, first of all. He also used the opportunity to offer a tone of humility. He said that the church should identify itself through holiness of its members and not the grandeur of the buildings. This would be very much in line with Francis, for example. He expressed hope that his election would bring light to the dark nights of the world. And this is probably a reflection of the moment we find ourselves in time and the fact that he's taking up the mantle in a world that's facing a lot of turbulence. He used the word peace about 10 times in his speech at St. Peter's Square yesterday. So peace appears to be the tone of his pontificate.
He was a surprise choice. Apart from the fact that half of Ireland seems to have met him, what more are we learning about him?
Yeah, I mean, like most new pontiffs, we learn more about them in the first few days. So we don't know everything yet. But it is interesting to see here the excitement of Americans witnessing the first US Pope. Yet the South Americans are also claiming him as their own because he spent so much of his missionary life in Peru, where he's a citizen. So he's known to share some of the same priorities as Francis, particularly when it comes to the environment and outreach to migrants and the poor. And on his social media, he recently posted and reposted content that would have been critical of the US President Donald Trump's immigration approach and of Vice President J.D. Vance's views on religion. He also, you know, shared messages in support of vaccination during COVID-19, for example, and support of the Black Lives Matter protests. So he is viewed as humble in his manner. He's rarely done media interviews, but all that changes now on Monday because he'll be meeting with Vatican media. And that's something that Francis also did at the very start of his pontificate.
Are there question marks over his response to allegations of clerical sex abuse?
ultimately, I think it's fair to say that whoever was going to be elected, they'd be assessed on the handling of clerical sex abuse, because it is has been such an issue for the Catholic Church and continues to be a challenge. So anyone who's been a former bishop is going to be assessed on how they've handled the matter. So yesterday, the US-based advocacy groups for victims of clerical sex abuse, it's called SNAP, it expressed grave concern about the choice of the new pontiff, saying that he failed to take action against suspected historical abuse in Chicago and Peru. However, his Peruvian diocese has fervently denied that he's been involved in any attempted cover-up. Now, in an open letter, the group told the new pontiff that this great pageantry around his election reminded them that survivors, they don't carry the same weight in this world as he does, for example. So, I mean, he has come out, he has, I suppose, spoken on this before, because he was asked in an interview in 2023 about it. And he did say that the church must be transparent and that it must be honest in dealing with abuse of allegations. But there's no doubt he will be asked about this as journalists get access to him in the coming days. And that question will likely be put to him on Monday.
Alva Keneally in Rome, thank you very much. Well, as Alva was saying to us there, the new Pope's elevation has been warmly welcomed in his native United States, although some on the right wing of the Republican Party aren't impressed by his support for immigrants. One described him as a Marxist, and another claimed he was the worst pick for MAGA Catholics. The Pope's brother said he couldn't be more proud. Speaking to journalists in Chicago, John Prevost said Pope Leo used to play priest when he was a child.
The first pope from Chicago, and my brother. You know how some kids like to play war and be soldiers, and some kids, girls want to play dolls and be housewives. He wanted to play priest. And so he took our mom's ironing board and put a tablecloth over it, and we had to go to Mass. And we went to Mass, and he knew everything. He knew his prayers in Latin, he knew his prayers in English, and he did that all the time, and he took it totally serious. It was not a joke. It was not a game. Isn't that interesting? Now, that's how you know.
Well, the new Pope has visited Ireland on a number of occasions. Earlier, I spoke to Augustinian priest Father Tony Finn, who considers him a friend. I started by asking him when he'd first met the new Pope.
Well, I met the new Pope when I was based in Rome. I was based in Rome from 2005 to 2017. And I would have met him very often because the General House is not too far away from where I lived. And we would meet him on a regular basis, especially for meals and gatherings. And he would have been very much a person that would converse and would also, you know, be interested in how is everything going and how is life going and how is life in St. Patrick's. And, you know, he was always showed a great interest in the work that we were doing.
And I gather he's been to Ireland quite a few times.
Yes, we would have our chapter, mid-chapters and general chapters here in Ireland, and he would have attended those and, you know, would always engage with us and promote the work. And, you know, the Augustinians really were always missionary in our outlook. And he would have engaged with us, especially with our developing the mission in Kenya. And he would also try to encourage people to be outward looking and missionary. You know.
How would you describe him? What are his interests?
Well, I suppose his interests are in people, and his interests, most of all, I suppose, in the church and the growth of the church. And South America, where he was based, he would be very much on the side of the poor and the side of those that were on the margins of society. He would certainly listen to the concerns and try to do something, try to involve them. He would be a pope that would include everyone and include the difficulties and in his prayer and in his, I suppose, in his outlook, try to put things in place so as the church could be a better and a safer place. He would certainly have that kind of a, I suppose, vision for the people. you know. And also during his time in Rome, he would have brought many laity, especially from Ireland, to conferences in Rome. And he was certainly into that synodal type of church where people were working together and sharing their difficulties and worries and concerns, you know.
And that was very much a sort of role that was taken on by Pope Francis as well. So do you think that
It was because the South America, you could say it was the place where everything started in relation to synodality. So Pope Francis would be Argentina and he would be in the next country, Peru. And it was from there that synodality was born. And so the church that we have today, the church of Pope Francis, which will be continued by Pope Leo XIV, that was the church that started in the South American vision. You know, the church of the people, the church of the poor.
It is a role that comes with enormous pressure. How will he handle that, do you think?
I think he will have a good team with him. And I would say he will put procedures in place very, very quickly because he's that type of person. And he will also, I think he will get a lot of lay people involved as well. You know, he will have people out there supporting the work of the church. You know, it's no longer a church that was, you know, away aloof, but it's a church that's very much on the ground with people. And he would be that type of person that you wouldn't want to be living in a palace, for instance. You know, even when he was living as a cardinal in Rome, he would live in the house, but he would just step around the corner where we were and he would meet the community there, you know.
Would you like to see him coming to Ireland as Pope?
He'll certainly come to Ireland. You know, he would have a great love and affection for the Irish. You know, he is certainly, he will be very open when he is invited. I'm sure, you know, he will come here very, very soon. You know, where the Augustinians are, he would be very conscious of the work, you know. And hopefully we will see more Augustinians, more young people joining us. And we would, you know, promoting, you know, the vision of Pope Leo XIV.
And that was Father Tony Finn talking to me earlier from Galway.